Good morning. It's good to see that you are here. Even though I may not be here physically, I'm downstairs. We're not too far away from each other. And first of all, apologies for delivering message recorded because as promised, I will be spending two Sundays out of four Sundays a month upstairs and then two Sundays downstairs. So today, I will be preaching in Korean service. The word of God today comes to us from 2 Corinthians 5:17. And now hear the word of God. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. When the new year starts, we do something that we don't usually do throughout the year. We do a thing called the New Year's resolution. And these resolutions are made so that we can bring some improvement in different areas of our lives, whether that may be finance, that may be our health, or better time management. We want to change in order to bring improvement in our lives. So we sometimes attend some conferences and some pep talks, but as soon as the talk ends, we realize that not much has changed. We join health clubs in order to sculpt our body, in order for us to lose some pounds and for me to be healthier. But you may start in January, but come March, you may not be so faithful in your plan. And sometimes we buy how-to or self-help books to tell us what to do, but these will not bring much change in our lives. Though we want to improve our body-mind, but we realize it's difficult because we lack willpower. We lack power, not only in the areas of personal development, but also in the areas of spiritual development and improvement. We, a lot of times, want to change. We want to change for the better. We want to be closer with God, to God, and we want to really have that deep relationship with God, but we realize that we have a difficult time. Why? Because we lack the power. As children of God, we live our lives ought to bring changes. We need to change. and we not only need to change, but we have to change. We ought to change. We should change it. We must change constantly for us to be more and more like Jesus Christ. Yet we lack power. What do you do when you lack power? You need to plug into the power. You can have the greatest appliances in the world, but when you don't have power, you cannot operate them. Likewise, you may be the greatest person in the world, but unless you're plugged into the power, source of power, you cannot bring changes in your lives. Perhaps it is time for us to tap into God's power. And this is what the Word of God says in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. And His incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of His mighty strength, which He exerted in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly realms. Paul uses a Greek word here, power, dunamis, which means dynamite in our word. Paul is saying that God wants to give us a power that is kind of like dynamite, explosive power in your life, in our lives, so that we can bring changes in our lives. God wants to transform our weaknesses into strength and our fears into confidence. What does it mean to tap into God's power? What kind of power does he possess that we can also share? Well, I want to share some of the powers that he gives us already. He gave us already in order for us to live a powerful life. First, he gave us power to cancel our past. We all have a list of our failures, mistakes, sins, and what we're not so proud of, and some regrets. Some may be more serious than others, but we all have our failures and faults. Regardless of a size, God has a power to erase our past and our failures and our shame. This is not about pretending as if nothing happened. It did happen. It hurt, and you may still have scars. But God's power will eliminate, neutralize, and offset our shortcomings and mistakes. And this is what Colossians 2:13 and 14 says. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross. Nailing it to the cross, he took away all our sins and our shortcomings. It is saying that God has forgiven all our sins and canceled every record of the debt that we had to pay. He did this by allowing his son Jesus Christ to be hung on the cross and bled to death. And on that cross, he took away all our shame, all our past mistakes, and all our faults and all our sins. God is very intentional about forgiving and forgetting our past mistakes and faults. All that we have to do is call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and he gave us power to overcome all that we call shame and all that we call sin. 1 John 1:9 says this, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. All unrighteousness, not some, but all of our past shame, all of our past faults, all of our past shortcomings will be erased. The reason why we cannot really exercise the power of God is Satan has a way of reminding us that you're not good. You're not righteous. You're not holy. But God says, no, I will give you a chance to start again. Forget about the past. I have forgiven you and you have a clean slate. But our problem is this. We are the problem. God has forgiven us, but we have tendency not to even forgive ourselves. We keep on kind of chewing and re-chewing and regurgitating our past, and we allow Satan to really overtake our life and our joy and our peace so that we cannot enjoy the power that we can really exercise in God. Have you met people who are dwelling in their past and struggling because of their past mistakes? A man in the middle years of his life has withdrawn from people and church because he felt bad about the mistake that he made 50 years ago, that he cheated on his wife and broke his home. And that pain and that sin has overtaken his life and ruined not only his family, but his life as well. And after coming to Christ, in his head he knew that he was forgiven, yet he was still struggling because he couldn't let go. An elderly woman, after counseling, she was still struggling because of the past sins that she has committed in her life. A young lady who is under the care of a psychiatrist because she can't forgive herself for having an abortion at a young age. Even after these people with the painful past became Christian, their spiritual life cannot really thrive because they're still dwelling on the past. And even though God says, I can forgive, I will forgive all unrighteousness, they're unwilling to forgive themselves. No matter how great the mistake and sin, if they can be forgiven by God, it can surely be forgiven by us, including myself. We need to let go. If you're carrying any burden upon your shoulder, may today be the day that you cast all your cares upon him, because he has a way of taking our burden and turning into joy. One of the greatest obstacles that stands before us is not being able to close the gate of our past. If we don't close the door of our past, that past has tendency to enter through that gate again and really affect the present as well. Unless we forgive ourselves, there's no power to change our lives. Paul knew that we cannot make forward progress without letting go of our past. That's why he says in Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. He is saying forgetting what is behind. We need to forget and let go for us to press forward. Without accepting this power to erase our past, we are foolish to expect any kind of progress in our lives, any kind of changes that will bring, that needs to be brought in our lives. Second power that we need to tap into is God provides power to overcome our present problems. It is our wish and hope to live problem-free life. I wish my life was just trouble-free, problem-free. I don't have to worry about money. I don't have to worry about people. I don't have to worry about reputation. I don't have to worry about anything. But we all know this is a wishful thinking. The only people who don't have any problems, they live together in a place called cemetery. I guess they're dead together. In life, we will face many problems. The issue is not whether we have problems or not. The issue is this, how we are going to face them and how we're going to handle them. When we try to solve the problem with our own power, we will burn out because our power is limited. So God wants us to stop trying and begin trusting in Him. Stop trying to solve our problems and begin trusting in God and let Him take care of our problems. Sometimes when I ask someone who is going through some problems, they answer, well, I am doing okay under the circumstances. Why are you under the circumstances? When you are under the circumstances, it has a tendency to suffocate us. Someone said that circumstances are like mattress. If you're on top, you may rest easy. But if you're underneath, then you suffocate. Although we cannot control our circumstances, we can surely control how we respond to them. An elderly man was about to repair the roof of his house, and he was climbing the ladder, and he had some nail in his mouth, and he was holding on to the hammer in the other hand. And all of a sudden, there comes a loud noise, and there's a shout that says, "Praise the Lord!" And his neighbor asked, "What's all this shouting about?" Well, the man said, "I swallowed the nail and dropped my hammer," came the reply. "Well, I can see, but why are you so happy about that?" "Well, but I am," the old gentleman retorted. "I am thankful that I did not drop the nail and swallow the hammer." Well, it's the way that you look at the problem. It is all about perspective. You may say, "But Pastor, you really don't know my problem. You don't know what I'm going through. If you're on my shoes, you would also suffer and you would have sleepless nights." Let me encourage you by taking your focus off your problem and focus on God's promises. This is what God promises. Paul says in Romans 8:35, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword?" And in verse 37, he answers, in Romans 8:37, he says this. This is the answer to all the, what can separate us from God? He says, "No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us." We are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Because God loves us, we are God's loving children. Our problem is not really our problem, it's God's problem. When my kids go through hardship, when my kids go through problems, it's not only theirs, but also I am part of the solution as well. And God is saying, "I am the conqueror and you are with me." If we put our trust upon the Lord, nothing can destroy us. This should be the statement that we profess every time we go through trouble, that I am a conqueror. I won't be conquered by the problems, but I will be conquering. And God's power has a way of changing our lives. Today's passage says that when we accept Jesus Christ into our lives, we become a new creation, a new creature. The old has gone. The past is no more. But the new has come. We begin a new life. Already here, it's talking about change. No longer we live by the patterns of the past, but we have a new life that was given to us through Jesus Christ. In order for us to be a new creation, a new creature, there is one prerequisite, one thing that needs to happen. Old has to go. Old ways has to go. Even though you may have had a good life or terrible life or okay life, whatever that life was, the Bible saying the old must go and the new has to come. It's like this. If you want new stuff in your house, the old has to go. If you want new furniture, your old furniture has to be tossed out. If you want a new car, old car has to go. Anytime you want something new, the old has to go. That is the principle of life. In order for us to experience new life in Christ, the old life must go. God's desire to change us is to produce within us fruit of the Spirit. So this spiritual sculpting series that we're starting today, we're going to be dealing with the different fruit of the Spirit that we, as a new person, as a someone who is going to be living a new life, that we need to bear these kind of fruit. And believe me, when we become fruitful, not only are we going to be attractive, but we are going to be loved not only by God, but by people around. Because when a tree produces fruit, it is not for its own consumption, but it is for the consumption of others. And when we produce good fruit, delicious fruit, then people will smile and they will want to learn from us. What is it that produces such a beautiful and delicious fruit in your life? So next, I don't know how long it's going to be, maybe about 8-9 Sundays, we're going to go through the fruit of the Spirit and to see what kind of changes need to be brought in our lives. Yet, there's always someone who steps in and kind of tries to be the devil advocate to kind of put a stop into these changes. One thing that stands in our way of changing to become more and more like Jesus Christ, it's not the devil, it's not other people, it's not the circumstances, it is our laziness, our procrastination. Procrastination is both physical and spiritual killer. You know, we say one of these days I'm going to spend more time with my children, and we just put it off until they're too old. We say one of these days I'm going to get that surgery that I need. Well, you may have waited too long. One of these days I'm going to start my exercise program. Well, one of these days your knee might give away to start a new exercise program. One of these days I'm going to get serious about God to become active in my spiritual life. Well, one of these days may not come, because as we know and we have heard, we have past, future, and present. Present is what we're living, and present is like the word itself. It is a gift from God. It is a present from God. So we need to kind of make a decision now to bring changes in our lives. These changes are possible if we do not change, let go of past, and start living a new life. Believe me, you sitting here worshiping God will not last too long. You will want to just, okay, this is boring too, I want to move on to something else. But once you have tasted the power of God in your life, power of forgiving my past, and power of overcoming the present problems and hardships, once you have tasted these kinds of power in your life, believe me, you will not want to go back to anything else. You will want to really plug into His power and overcome whatever comes your way. Let go of your past to God. Trust Him today. And that change begins today and now. Let us pray. God, we give You thanks for being our God. Though we try to change, we realize that our power is so limited. Our willpower only lasts a few days, few weeks, at most few months. And we realize our limitation and our shortcoming. Lord, we trust in Your power, and we plug in to Your power for You to bring changes in our lives. We do not want to go through life just making it. We want to be victorious. We want to be conquerors. We want to be called Your children. As we begin this new series of spiritual sculpting series, may we be sculpted in Your likeness, just as we were created in the Garden of Eden in the image of God, that every day changes will come to be more and more like Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.